Welcome, After Buzzers, to the 7th episode of Season 2 of Sense8. I have no room in my heart for hate. Lots of things go down. Mysteries revealed. Whispers gets a full name. And what is happening with Jonas? We'll find out. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, I love that sound. Every time I hear it, I'm like, I'm ready to be transported on a journey. Although now, tempered with a little bit of sadness, because we know for sure that we are not getting another season of Sense8. There will not be...
Via Netflix.
Yes.
Let's hope someone...
But see, another network could be really smart and pull that and then get new viewers.
Because Netflix dropped it for the price tag, I just don't see it. We'll get into that. We will get into that. Before we get fully into the show, we should introduce ourselves. Zach, would you like to kick us off?
Yeah, sure. How's it going, everyone? My name is Zach Silverman. You could find me all across social media at Zach with a C-H, Silverman 2.
Nice. And my name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D. Lane, and we are live in the chat. So if you're watching this live, feel free to join us. And if you're watching it later, comment down below. You all have excellent theories and thoughts about this amazing show.
Thank you. We love hearing from you guys. Mm-hmm. Our wonderful leader, Alexis Torres, could not be here tonight. She has been called away on duties elsewhere, but we love her. And you can find her all over at A Torres. Is it 89? 88?
At least 88.
You know what? If you get 890... Huh? You're brilliant. Thank you.
Thank you.
A Torres 890. Search for her because she's great. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerd.com and every Wednesday at Chmoes No. This is Sense8. Guys, feelings on this episode.
I had so many emotions.
There were a lot.
So many.
I definitely wept my way through this episode. Yes. It does not help that today is the anniversary of the Pulse nightclub shooting, which... has been plaguing my time. I say plaguing, but it's a challenge to kind of go back and look through all of that stuff, and then we get to this episode, and I'm like, I have feelings. There's a lot happening. There's a lot going down. Zach, thoughts on this episode?
I wasn't all over the place, but definitely had my heart being squeezed a little bit. This whole episode was about family. It was very interesting.
Yeah.
The unity that they all have. I love how we see multiple different types of families, mm-hmm. Not just the normal mom dad kind of thing that we're all so used to, I guess.
Me too. I like messing around with that structure. To kick us off, Will and Riley have the best couple fight ever with a marriage counselor in between them in the form of Nomi.
Yes.
This whole opening plane scene blew me away. What did you guys think?
I thought it was great. It absolutely made sense. And, you know, everybody had a good point of view. Like, nobody you go, oh, you're just being stupid. It's like, no. They all have a valid point of why they're concerned or not concerned. And so it was fun to, like, watch them, like, figure it
all
out.
To set that up, they agreed last episode Riley was going to go to Chicago to meet with some of the other Sense8 to learn what's going on with Whispers, gather some more information. The scary thing about that is that... Angelica went back there, and that's what she got.
And the other guy, too.
Yeah. The one who lit himself on fire.
Scar across his head.
Yeah, him.
But they have the, you know, it's... I like your description of couples counseling, essentially.
Yeah, no, she's there. She's like, look, you know he loves you. That's why he's so upset. You know that she has to do this, and she's being very brave, and that's why you're worried.
And she asked for some earplugs.
Yeah.
Like,
does
it
mean literally? She just to tune everything else out, sir. Calm down. It's cute, and it's adorable, because we love Will and Riley.
Yeah.
I love the shots that they continue to have, because it switches back and forth between the plane, the flat, nobody's place. But then it also switches because Will is in the plane, the flat, and like we get... everyone in all three places at different times. It's very,
you know,
it's
I honestly think that's the reason why we can't keep going with the show. Is that one reason?
Oh my God,
is because you're reshooting
be so
scenes over and over and over again,
just
which
costs
means,
money.
You know, it's funny though that I
hefty
saw.
Price
okay,
tag.
Yeah, oh my God, so hefty. It's jumping a little bit, but the scene when he's eating or when they're having the phone conversation.
Oh yeah.
He's in the flat. He has a 5 o'clock shadow, but then he's talking to his friend, and he has like scruff like mine, and just like,
I caught you.
I caught that.
The same thing with Riley.
Oh,
lipstick
I didn't think
is
I
like a super dark berry when she's on the plane,
but in
the flat it's like faded pink, and I'm like, I caught you.
It's got to be hard to keep up with that.
It's the smallest, most nitpicky thing. No, it has to be.
It's
got to
be
impossible.
Like, props to those people who do that.
Tying into their arguing though, so
yeah, sorry, go back
continuity
to that.
Stuff.
I
do like how Will kind of apologizes later for it though. Of like, he's a good boyfriend in that sense of like, I really love you, and that I just care so much. And then you, like, can be mad at it. And she, too, she's like, how can you?
Okay.
I love you.
I also like that we get to explore Chicago with Riley.
Oh, that was so cool. Through Will,
Will's being like, go this way.
This is the first time Will was back home. Back home in Chicago. Mm-hmm.
She got to try a malt.
That, too. She's like, no, I'm not hungry. And he's like, man, I could go for a malt. And she goes... Okay.
can he taste through her as well? Oh, that is just so
cool. Well, they feel everything else.
I guess it makes sense for them to do everything else. Yeah.
What I like about that.
He felt pregnancy for crying out
loud. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
It was a while ago. Good call.
Yeah, jeez.
I like the moment where Riley's trying to downplay the I have voices in my head syndrome.
Oh, that blew my mind. I'm sorry I jumped in there. Cool. Like the fact that he's the friend that gets to hear about this first and not Hernando. Not like any of the other, like, mm-hmm. I know Amanita, she already knows and Bug knows.
But Amanita's, like, been in it since the get-go.
Yeah, she's been there for a while.
Sometimes I almost count her as a sensei. I'll be like, who are we missing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's her.
But I feel like I figured Hernando would have known by now and Daniela. Like, I was waiting for that, and it's like, really? Will's best friend is the one who gets to know next? And I'm like,
And it was just so dropped casually. He's like, so you hear voices in your head. And it was just like out of
nowhere.
Get
past the exposition.
I guess so.
It was a good way to just jump ahead. Yeah. But I'm glad he knows now.
Well, and they did such a super spy way of figuring out, of helping him believe.
Oh, the phone call.
This stuff. Yeah. No, it's a total super spy move. Of, like, you're about to get a phone call.
Yep.
I wish he had a little bit more of a reaction of, because the phone call was just like so instant. Mm-hmm. I wish he would have some like, witty line, but like, and then it happened, but like, oh, what?
No, it is that fast.
It,
like,
was just too quick,
It was great. So I like that Will's reconnecting with his cop buddies. Yes. Like, I like Chicago cop Will, because he's like a fun, super buddy cop, but he's also very serious. And he's good at his job, so it's really nice to see him step into that role, and also that partnership where he's like giving this kind of teary confession of like, what I liked best was being in the car with you, and like, oh my god, my heart, emotions.
Like, can he hear everything I'm saying? She's like, yeah.
Tell him he's an asshole.
And he is. And then he goes, I deserve that. Yeah. It's great.
It's fair. And we also learned why Will couldn't tell anyone. Like, I mean, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. You just don't think about those things. And, like, I think at that moment he finally was just like, oh, you know what? Yeah, maybe I shouldn't be so mad at you because of that.
No, even telling him, you're like, you're my best friend, but you're a really shitty liar. Like, that was a better explanation than just like, well, I don't want Homeland Security. FBI, it's like, I don't want you to have to lie for me.
Yeah.
I don't want you to lose your job. That's what's important.
They're a little
I
romance.
Love you more than my job.
I've got
a great romance.
Their bromance is awesome, to the point where he's like, my kids miss you, man. And he goes, I miss them too. And like, almost like he's a dad to them. It's great. Yeah. It's awesome.
Uncle, and it's amazing.
Yeah.
Such a good friend is the partner that he takes Riley to the church where, guys, the partner went to the church right before Will disappears, I think, with Will.
Yeah, I think so. He drives.
Yeah, because he recognized it.
And that's why he's like, shit, no, but why are we back
he's
here?
He's all peace out. Yeah. And she's like, I'm going to go downstairs. But I like his line.
Oh, witty comment. Yeah, this is about the scene, time where, like, the witty black guy dies, you know, gets murdered.
Well, I'm out. And they're like, Will tries to get him to stay. He's like, no, we can't hear you, Will. Riley ends up having to go down the stairs by herself.
She's very brave.
Riley is like brave, lion-hearted warrior in here. Like, she's like, look, they're afraid, and if we're going to build any kind of semblance of trust, we have to do this to the point where she agrees to take that pill.
The beta blocker.
To remove all of her, like, fighting skills and science knowledge. Don't know if I could have done the same thing. How do you guys feel like you would have been trusting him?
She was very brave. Go ahead. You go first.
Yes, if only because I think she read the situation well. That she's like, this isn't BPO style. That's this exactly is someone who is scared. So I liked her logic of how she followed it. And I think this was great timing for this episode because I remember either it was last one or a couple episodes ago, we all were kind of talking about, like, okay, Riley's cool, but she hasn't really done much lately. And even the chat was kind of like, yeah, Riley's cool, but she's not really getting opportunity to do much. And I felt this was her episode where she was totally badass.
She could step up to the plate.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say the exact same thing. Yeah, seriously.
So then we get this really intense conversation between our informant.
Oh, well, I like this in the chat. Judy goes, Riley gave birth on the side of a mountain in a snowstorm. She can do anything. You know what? Good
props.
Point.
Props.
Jeez, I forgot about that.
Yes, our informant comes. What is her name?
We didn't get her name.
I didn't get a name.
I don't think we had a name.
Good. I don't think
I'm
she
glad
gave
I
a
didn't
name.
Miss it. Yeah. So we know that she worked with Angelica. We know that she understood why Angelica was part of the group.
Yes.
She wanted to find her children. So what that meant, like her other cluster, was that the cluster with Todd? Not Todd. With the cluster with the guy that.
I believe so.
Or she had other clusters.
And here's
also.
Why. And this goes back to that scene where he does. Oh, is it emulation when you burn yourself alive? I can't think of the words right now, guys. I think it's self-emulation. But when there was that confrontation where we're trying to figure out, like, is Angelica encouraging him? Is she controlling him?
Like, she's acting like
what?
A whisper or
and
whatnot.
I think whispers, like, guided her to a point of, like, yes, definitely, we are here to help you find your babies. And she knew eventually that, you know, oh, wait, he's killing them instead.
Yep.
And so she gives them ways out beforehand.
Yeah. Or even just the, like, how they describe what Whispers is of, like, doing those bad things. Because Riley and the lady having both their marks on their arms.
Well, oh, God.
So to go back to that last episode, that woman, whatever her name is, she was saying that the grafts that they're doing to them allows, because we were all confused. We're like, was Angela talking to him, telling him to do that? That was Whispers going into Angela. Whispers was using Angela to talk to her own cluster person, and he wasn't controlling Angela, but he was going through Angela to him.
Got it.
Yeah, it's a little confusing, but that's what I took away from from what the graph does, because it makes them essentially these like mindless zombies that you could control
that
from another cluster.
Agree with you.
That would certainly
they don't
explain
agree.
Jonas. Like, if we were to follow that train of thought, that explains how a dead Jonas comes
back
or,
because Whispers is controlling
if
him.
If we keep him brain active just enough for Whispers to get in there and do what he needs to, potentially that could be it. Well, I'm curious what the chat thinks.
Yeah, what are your theories then? I would go more with the direct line, like he would be controlling her.
So then why did they have that shot, though, when we saw him like pouring the gasoline, we saw Angela, and then it switched to Whispers and then Angela again?
Yeah,
Right? I'm not making that up.
I don't know.
Never mind. Judy in the chat agrees with you.
Fantastic.
And other
Thank
theories
you.
Of what that means to people watching live or later, comment down below. How does this process exactly work? Because, I mean, they kind of explain it, but not... It's like, can I get
it's
gotta
be like a lobotomy of some sort. Yes. They have to do some type of grab. Well, we also find that Whispers comes in, and he has this information that nobody wants to really look into, because you have to... You tear apart your own brain, essentially.
Yeah.
You know,
we didn't want to look into it. We didn't want to do it to our cluster. We don't want to do it to individuals. But it's getting us good results. So, in the same way that we'll talk about later with the medical thing, it'll be interesting to see how this stuff is being passed off. You guys have found a very interesting theory.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm not sure how you say that. Angelica was controlling Raul because she needed him to destroy her research, so Whispers couldn't get it. That's how they understood that scene.
Okay.
And I like that. And
Angelica isn't the mother we think she is.
Yes.
Or
is,
yeah.
And she's accidentally turned to the dark side.
Wow.
And that they haven't really explained it. Yeah.
They're like, does she kill herself? Lots of questions.
Lots of questions.
Riley gets that information, and that pretty much wraps up that story.
Yeah. We don't see much of Wolf, so we can just get that out of the way.
Oh, yeah. Wolf is sexy, and that's all we have, talk about.
We have one nice scene.
But his cameos were awesome, though, with Leto and with Sun. When we get to those bits, we'll talk about them.
Yes.
Let's talk about Sun. Oh, my God.
That scene.
So before we get to the sexy fight scene,
Yes, go ahead.
Let's talk about the graveyard scene.
Beautiful. Can I just say this, like, Japan has...
Korea.
This is Korea?
This is Korea.
She's Korean.
Korean.
This is South Korea.
So sorry. They have beautiful cemeteries.
Mm-hmm.
That was gorgeous. I didn't know where we were at first. And I'm like, this is a cemetery. Wow.
It was kind of almost a, not a mausoleum, but an interesting way to...
Set it up.
Set it.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's got
Alexis
a beautiful,
Alexis is
like,
in the chat with us.
Alexis! Hi! We love you and miss you.
The thing I really most liked about... One, it totally made me cry. But the thing
multiple times. I'm sorry.
But the thing I actually really liked was there's a moment where, as Sun is, like, upset, we get all the females joining her. And I'm like, this better not be just girls comforting her while she's grieving.
I liked that. I actually like the idea that it might have been just women, this idea of, like, becoming a comforting circle. Not that men can't be involved in that or shouldn't be involved in that, but just that it's Like, but sometimes just having women come together can be just beautiful and lovely.
But I didn't want it to be that men, that only women can comfort each other, or men don't grieve, or there's just so many other things. I'm like, this better not be just girls. And then the guy showed up. I'm like, oh, good, thank you. And then even Cassius' story of him losing his father.
Yeah.
So then I was like, oh, good. But, you know, at first it would have just been a little bit like, okay, it's only women or
upset. But can you really say it's only women, considering Nomi was a man once before and Vito is homosexual? I mean, the brain...
No, because they started off with girls, and I would... Okay. Nomi's a lady.
I'm going off of... Yeah, it's just physically
females,
yes,
and
yes,
I'm
yes,
like...
Yes,
mm.
yes.
Yeah, but then homosexuality has nothing to do with your gender.
I know.
Totally different.
Right.
So Sun says this kind of goodbye to her parents. Is she leaving the country, or did I misinterpret that?
I think she's unsure of what she wants to do next, but is considering that as an option.
Yes. Yeah. And so she's kind of apologizing for having to go, somewhat apologizing for not doing right by her brother, apologizing for not being able to foresee all
of
this stuff.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, Sun's been holding in a lot. Like, we've seen her punching walls in prison for a long time and picking fights with people, and then running for her life, and then, like, hiding out with old ladies, and then saying goodbye to her dog again, which was heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like, she has been emotionally traumatized.
Yes.
And I'm glad we got to see this come out, because we know how important her parents are to her journey. Yeah.
Especially her mother.
And her relationship with her father is interesting. Lady Goth in the chat says, although her father was awful to her, I think she mourns him, the idea of him, and what could have been, and their potential relationship with her brother hadn't killed him.
Yeah.
And then that's true. Judy says her father was always supportive of her in business, and was really proud of her in that sense. So, I think, like, her relationship is obviously complicated with her dad, but I think she's more upset that she feels she's responsible for him dying.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, because he came to visit her in the prison.
Yeah.
And
then it was like, and die. So, I think that's... And then it was just so, like... This, that was the other moment where I'm like, I love this show. And so they're all together comforting her.
Oh, the big family hug.
Yeah, let's talk about everyone's kind of like role in comforting her. So we talked about Wolf goes like, look, my father is like your father.
Yeah.
But a total jerk.
And he was go for vengeance, too.
Yeah, I love that line. He's like, some people just are better off not being in this world. My father included, like, with your brother. He was like, go ahead, kill. I think the decision was, am I going to kill my brother or not?
Yeah.
Am I going to go after my brother or not, instead of leave the country, right?
Yeah. Well, she said she's more confused. But it's good that she's thinking about it, and she isn't, you know, she's not just,
The same thing with Kathy talking about how when he lost his father.
It's the two sides of the coin, which is nice to see, because then it's not just like only one option for her.
Yeah, and she's like, you don't have to have tunnel vision, you can move forward. Mm-hmm. What is the advice Kala gives her?
What did Kala say? I think hers was, it was, oh, no, I think it was one of those, you're like your mother.
Yes.
That was how it started.
Like you're just like your mom.
I think that was her.
Riley gets something about being down.
Riley, I think Riley was something about being strong. Wasn't Riley the one who said about being
I can't remember everybody.
They all said something fantastic.
They all had something good.
It was all good.
It was lovely. The end result was beautiful.
Yes. And then we get
Son, sexy fight. So, hot detective has been stalking her parents' graves, waiting for her to show up.
He was totally the guy sweeping on the stairs when she walked by in the beginning. I was like...
It's part creepy, part romantic.
It's super romantic.
Just really good detective work.
Yes.
Like, coming at it from a lot of different angles, I have my feelings about it. What I do like is this guy has fallen hard for this girl. Oh, my God. Oh, Jesus. That fight...
So hot.
Fight was awesome.
So, and then this show makes you go from crying to I was sitting on the edge of my seat like,
goddamn. Oh my gosh, when he just punches to the face and she's not letting up.
No.
She's just full bloody.
She kicks ass.
Oh my gosh.
He couldn't
hold
his own.
He's like, I want that rematch.
Yeah,
she's
seriously.
Like, I love the way they decided to shoot it like a ballroom scene at one point. When they're spinning around and you have the very wide shot, and so you have like all of that background, and they're kind of spinning around in the mid-ground, and it ends in that close-up when what would typically be like a princess dip, like where he kisses her, but instead she's pulling
holding
him
on,
down,
right,
and he's like holding her up when his arms are twisted, like phenomenal.
Don't think I was expecting that kiss to happen.
Oh no, I saw that. I'm like, please.
I was like, wait a second, are they gonna do this? Like, what?
I was not expecting the kick to the face afterwards.
Oh yeah, I thought it was gonna end. I thought
like, oh, and now you have sex. Oh no. Oh, she's gonna continue kicking
what's
your
funny
ass.
Is like, what's funny is we all think Sun won, but he won. really, he was knocked out, but like he
won. Got to her.
He got to her. Yeah, he like won the.
She did break.
Yeah,
she was trying to keep him up for a long time.
I think he was the one that allowed her to finally come to a decision with what she has to do.
Flirting was so hot.
Yeah,
too.
It was pretty cool.
It was precious.
She's like, "You need to focus, Warren." He's like, "That's what my teacher said. You should listen. You should spend more time with teacher." And it's like all of it. You're just like,
I love how he was like analyzing her also.
Yeah,
yes, totally. Well, he called her out.
He's like, "You're not fighting anybody. You're fighting." Well, he didn't even say fighting yourself.
Your image of your father.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is so interesting.
Like, ooh, don't mention that.
Because when you see her, she's like her. Face when she's fighting is so you could see him thinking when he's fighting like mm-hmm. is she gonna punch me or something and she's just like so like deadpan and just
even
like,
when he was like look I'm gonna fight you and his like semi striptease was amazing and then
oh
and
yeah.
he's like and okay shoes, I'm gonna fight you and he gets a fighting stance and she's like I'm gonna have to kick your ass now.
Loved her outfit. Side note,
yes, so
absolutely
good.
Love that halter
like
outfit.
The scarf, thing.
Yes, the scarf really and cool. The pants. Oh my gosh. Side note in the chat, I do agree this would be awesome. Trudy goes, we need to have a convention where we can watch the episodes together. Ray says, OMG, yes. And that was a damn hot scene. Yes, it was so good.
I feel like we're
going
to have to
blood,
talk.
Blood, dirt, and sweat.
Mm. Yes. Mm. We'll have to talk about it as a group off air, but a couple of you have requested that we do a live like watch of the final episode. So we're watching the final episode and then we like, you know, stream it. Somewhere. So maybe
that
we can make that happen.
Fun. I'd like to do that.
Yeah.
We did it once for Luke Cage and it was kind of phenomenal. Yeah. So if that happens, we'll hit you guys up and let you know on social medias.
Oh, that was so
awesome. So she was a sexy fight.
Oh, no, there we go. Good call. Ray goes, this is more fun.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
What?
It was very sexy.
Did you
guys.
Cheer out loud? I cheered out.
I did. Of course. I did cheer out loud. We have a sponsor today.
Yes, we do. Bump there. So this is a new book coming out, and it's called Blind Item. And it's a great book read for the beach. You know, it's a nice, sleek, page-turning story. Great for summertime, you know, go to the beach. That's what I think of, like, you know, you want to get outside. Anyway.
Definitely. When you're traveling, you go to the airport, and you're like, I need a good book that I can just zone out into.
And, you know, you got to be prepared to be scandalized, which could tie into this show.
I love
so
scandals.
Fun. Their sex, drugs, booze is just the beginning. Each of the characters' salacious stories will keep the readers glued to the pages in this modern Hollywood Valley of the Dolls. And the authors, Kevin Dickinson and Jackie, Kitsonian, are industry veterans. The scandals and celebrity antics are based on true stories. Love that. Mm. And all the names have been changed.
So the stories are true, but the names have been changed. Is this what I'm hearing?
Fun puzzle.
I'd love to know who's
someone
who.
Take the time to read this book and report back the stories I should be out, reading. Yes. I'm so excited.
Blind Item tackles three fields, publicity, tabloid journalism, and reality TV to give an unflinching and entertaining 360 view of the Hollywood industry.
Salacious.
Ooh. So their tagline is, this is not a true story, but every story inside is true. Ooh, I like it. E! Online says summer 2000's hottest read. Mm. Life and Style says teams with scandals talk about a page turner.
Nice.
So look no further for the perfect summer read, a fun, raucous, and true to life Hollywood page turner full of secrets and scandals. Start reading now. Visit blinditembook.com.
There you go. I'm just going to get to Nomi and Amanita because theirs is pretty short.
Yes.
Nomi and Amanita are at the cabin with Amanita's dads and her mom.
Mother.
I love Amanita's family. They're kind of perfection.
They're so cool.
I do, and it's totally random side note that they pointed out her mom's from Santa Barbara. That's, like, my hometown.
And
so I was like, what? Okay,
yes.
Cool.
While they're there, Will is kind of writing Nomi.
Yes.
And actually, the fun it's, like, only one line, but it's cool, too, of the, how do you not want to know who the birth father is? Like, who the actual biological father is? And they're kind of like, doesn't matter. Which,
doesn't matter when you're looking at the smile
of the
face.
Yeah.
Oh.
I don't know if any of you know this book. And actually, if you like this show, you probably would like these books. Dangerous Angels.
Oh, I don't know.
I read them in high school, which I probably shouldn't have.
Scandalous.
Yes. But that one has a character that they want to have a baby, and they have two men and a woman, and they're kind of like, doesn't matter. We don't care. We all love each other. Let's make a baby. And I was like, oh, that's so cool.
It's beautiful.
Anyway.
And last week, I mean, commented on how lucky she felt to have her three dads. She's like, people thought it was weird, but I didn't care. I was lucky in the dad department.
And they're just so, everyone, it's such a supportive family. And I think it's great for Naomi to be in that environment.
At the table, passing her
really
the
dream.
Yeah.
So Naomi is being bugged by Will about making sure Riley's safe. And she's like, look, I got the fake ID. I know what's
best
up.
One I've ever
best
made.
One I've ever made. And we learned that she used to make them for other trans people because getting new IDs can be very challenging. It requires a lot of paperwork, a lot of money, and a lot of, like, you know, things that maybe people don't need to be checking. Like, it's a lot of work to get your ID changed. So it's kind of cool that she was using her sleuthing online skills to do that. She convinces Will, Amina and Naomi go to bed. Amina cannot sleep. She cannot sleep. She is worried. She's investigating. And she learns that Ruth Soloway, Todd, walk me through this again. This was so much information, and it happened so quickly.
So,
we have the mass shooting.
Yeah, she recalls the mass shooting.
Which has been a through line for the whole episode.
For 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
That video is disturbing as hell.
How did she pull up that video?
Well, someone probably had been, like, in the audience videotaping it, and it's online, and it's on there somewhere. Like, no matter how atrocious videos are,
it's still
you could probably still
you can still find most shootings today, like police shootings. Most police shootings are available,
or if
on
it's
YouTube
available to the public afterwards.
Yeah,
yeah.
Wow, that's disturbing. Not
so.
Watch that.
Yeah. So continue.
They're watching the lecture. They liked how the what the lecturer was talking about. I didn't write down his name, but looks him up, sees that he's connected with the founder of BPO,
Ruth.
And then there's just kind of like, whoa, and then wait a minute, sees the shooter. Shooter gets taken out, is still alive, and turns out to be Todd.
Yes. He hangs himself in the prison, though. That's the only reason why I think they...
Did they say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I totally missed that.
And in the news clip,
it's
it
a
said,
news clip.
Oh, I missed that.
His name not released his name, but I guess they know who he is. So.
Yeah. Got it. Well, they knew from the photo, they're just like,
So what does that mean? What is our eventual conclusion of that?
Puppet.
Whispers... Todd was using Whispers... Sorry.
Whispers was using
Todd as a puppet to do this mass shooting.
For what purpose, we don't know at this point, but...
Okay.
Well, no, we do.
Or testing it.
We do know. Because he worked with... He was one of the founders, or...
They're trying to get rid of the founders. Sure, but why bother killing the other people?
Just to make it look like a mass shooting.
Yeah.
And it's just...
Seems so messy.
Which is
someone anti-like, you know. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so that kind of wraps them up. We are on a short time, so we're going to run through the rest of these. Cafius is hanging out with Zakiya. Oh, my gosh. They are so cute.
They're
adorbs. Zakiya...
She drops the ball.
Zakiya didn't know. This is
first
not Zakiya's fault. This is Cafius's fault for keeping everybody informed. Like, hey, Zakiya,
my mom don't know.
We're not talking about that.
Yeah.
That's something you need to give a girlfriend a heads up on. No one can prepare for that. That's usually a very
proud
moment.
Yeah.
Yes. Of course, Cafius's mother is not, because that's how his father was killed.
Yeah.
It's why she had to give up her baby girl. It's why they're living in poverty currently. Like, there's a lot of reasons for her to be concerned about him going into politics. What did you think of Cafius's reasoning for deciding to go in?
Well, I think the thing that really started the prompting was actually learning about the expired drugs coming to his country.
Yeah.
I think him
click. I didn't even
click.
Put that connection together.
I feel that learning through Kala about the fake, not fake, I want to say fake, but
expired
drugs. Expired drugs.
Expired and
made him so upset that, you know, shit's going down that he's like, I need to do something about it. Mm. And I think that was the push, because it's something directly connected to his mother, his family kind of situation. So he's like, I need to do something about it.
Definitely. And he took it very seriously, and he I loved seeing him walk into the community center that was the political party getting ready.
Yeah.
Like, again, just images we don't typically see of Africa there in Kenya, and I really like her being like, look, I could have gone anywhere. She could have gone BBC or America or whatever, but she's like, I want to stay here. There are issues here, and I can solve them, and I love my country, and I want to take part in it. And their relationship is just so beautiful. So, yeah.
And
so
that's a cool center, and talking about art, too. I love that.
Oh,
like,
that whole,
that's another moment, too.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's amazing.
That moment was great. She said something about imagination. I can't remember.
If you need to have a good imagination, otherwise you, like, won't do something.
Yeah. Something teaching the kids the right
thing. So Kathy is learning about the drugs, of course, happens when Kala learns about the drugs, which...
Great detective on her behalf.
We all called it.
We did. We have. Okay, we've been saying, look, we don't trust him. Things are weird.
Rightfully so. Raj's explanation behind it all, I kind of was like...
Sucks, but...
I felt a little for him. Well, I didn't feel for him. I didn't feel for him. I felt for how he related it to religion. And how it went, like, I was raised Jewish, but, like, most of my friends were raised Catholic, and I see the influences it has had on them, and I'm just kind of like, you really aren't, you're, like, kind of brainwashed. You know, you're not, like, he couldn't stop. He's just like, I just kept believing in my religion more and more. And I was just like, all right, it's kind of an excuse, but I get where you're coming from.
I mean, I like the exploration of... I dedicated everything that I had to this company so that it would be able to take care of the people that I love.
Yes.
I like that explanation, and I think that's incredibly understandable. But when you start getting into, like, oh, but it does not affect anyone here because we wouldn't gamble with our own people's lives.
I was like, come on.
Come on now. But again, I mean, if you guys watch Iron Fist, you see the exact same thing happening where they're talking about, like, look, disposing of medical things is challenging to do it legally, and then on top of that, it's expensive, so it is cost-effective for, in a capitalist society, to say, like, look, but if we sell these drugs, and maybe we help some people, this is all they can afford. Make your drugs cheaper.
But then it's like you almost need a label on it saying this is not, this is not guaranteed. But in the sense of an affordable product, fine. Yeah. I could let you go without it. But then you need a disclaimer going...
It might not work because
are taking this to save your life.
Yeah, Caffeus's mom is taking that stuff to save her life. And they're not going to have another season, but that would be a plot point, you know? Like, hey, the drugs aren't working. She died after all.
Truly. I know, Rajan, like, his apology was sincere, but do we believe that he's going to change the company's practices? He says he already has. I just feel like it's just much easier to cover it up and keep going. He might try.
Yeah. I don't think he'll succeed.
He's really in love with her. So I think that he sees family first. Yeah. Because he saw his family first growing up with that. So I think he'll try.
Or because he also says, like, the way you looked at me, I think that made him take a hard look at himself and realize, like, this is pretty shitty. Mm. I think he would have the initiative to try to change it. I don't think it's going to happen, though.
It's a lot to try and change. Says,
and his buddy, too, makes me so nervous.
I don't like him. He's creepy.
Flirting. And there
In front of it. Yeah.
I take a French perspective on this in that, like, the culture is just like, look, your wife's hot, man. Like, I'm not going to screw her, but... I mean, if she wanted to, I might. Like, I just like that kind of honesty. I think that there's definitely a line, and that guy skirts it. But also, you know, I'm telling you should appreciate this woman. Look at her. She's gorgeous. Do something about it.
He still seems slimy and gross.
You know what? I don't disagree with you. I do not disagree with you.
No, Puck doesn't bother me the way this guy does.
Really?
Yeah.
I think they're both slimy.
Different kind. How about Puck's slimy, this guy's smarmy?
Sure.
Okay. Let's get into the email story. Danielle's parents come with her slimy, stupid asshole of an ex who I want to punch in the face, but Leto got back at him with that suitcase tug of war. It was brilliant. I like that there wasn't even, like, he's just like in the tiara with the rainbow flag cape on. Yeah. Just like, no.
Muscles gone.
Dude, those guns, man.
I think his shirt was on backwards because that was a tank top.
I noticed that too.
It was a tank top, and I was just like,
if you guys have never been to a pride or to a queer thing, that's very common to do.
Just to turn it backwards? Are they making them that way now?
You know, I'm not 100% sure, but it was made that way. Style choice.
I mean, it was definitely style choice.
Those arms look so good. As he's holding that suitcase, you're like,
it's very reminiscent of Captain pulling on the helicopter, which is my favorite scene because I feel like I mentioned it once a week in a show.
But yeah, that moment too of like, you want to get in a fight, and then, that's when Wolfie shows up.
Do you want to get beat again? Because I could do it. I'm Wolfie, and I'm not afraid of you.
And then he's like, you could see him like puff up again, and even Sun being there like, we got this.
We're here if you need it.
What is the dynamic? I mean, I know they're a family. What would you call their relationship? The family, Danielle and
so
Danielle,
so. Like, Leto is in a he's queer relationship. They do not have a sexual relationship with Danielle.
But they have of the minds,
but
which is awesome.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like they are a trio, and I've seen this happen a lot.
Sapiosexuals, I think that is what. they might be.
Well, sapiosexual is not limited specifically to, like, sapiosexual just means I'm initially attracted to you because you're intelligent.
Yeah.
But it's not absent of physical sexual intercourse, which is what's happening with
Danielle. She's almost like their sister, though. Like, even though she looks at them in a sexual way and gets turned on by them, how she cares for them and how they care for her is like a sister.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
She's their baby sister.
She's part of their core, like, family dynamic. They don't have a dog. They have Danielle. Which is not to say Danielle is a dog, which is that Danielle, it feels that kind of love bubble for them. Like, no matter what happens, like, Danielle's going to be excited to see them.
I love how they all support each other.
Exactly.
I think it's beautiful.
Oh, and the line, too, of, like, I'm home now.
I'm home now, yes.
Oh, I was so happy. I'm like, I'm going to say it.
When I tell you that my ex used my face as a punching bag, and you say, go get her suitcase, he's not allowed to step foot. He can head toward the door, and that's it. That's the only direction in which he may travel inside of his house, is outside of it. Screw you guys. I'm really proud and happy that Danielle is, like, safe and
in a good
comforted
environment.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
It made me so happy.
Quickly, Lito loses his agent this week. The agency drops him.
And he was jerk also. He's like, whatever your lifestyle, etc. blah, blah, blah. I'm like, come on, dude.
Lifestyle.
Yeah, what is that about?
Yeah, you can't even look him in the face as you're saying, like, I support you. No, you don't.
No, you don't. I support your lifestyle. He's like,
What do you want to call it? A lifestyle? No, you don't respect me. You have nothing. Here's the thing, though. On the other hand, like, Lito, bro, like, you understand the culture and the society in which you live.
Yeah.
Like,
well, that's why
you
he was
went into this.
For the time.
And that's Lito's, a characteristic of Lito. He's naive. And it's kind of what endears you to him because he's got this big, squishy heart that is always on the line. But it's frustrating because also, like, this is a huge reveal. And I stick with what I said last week. Lito should just move to Brazil.
Someone said a word, too. They called it a thruple.
In
which Lito and Hernando love her platonically, and she loves them platonically.
I like that. Yeah.
I can agree with the thruple. That's nice.
I think that's a good word. I wasn't surprised at all. I do think he should move somewhere else where he'd be accepted. And that elevator scene, though.
Oh, okay, so...
I had so many feelings.
That was a younger actor, right?
Yeah, and probably the same position
also,
as Lito.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was great how Lito first... comes in all like happy and everything, and the one time he actually is allowed to look at social media, he gets fired from his from his agent. And then we go into the elevator, and it's only because of the social media where that guy was just like, thank you. It hugged him. Oh God, I got the chills thinking about it right now.
So happy. How haunting and shameful is the walkout, though? Like the way that it's shot with these close-ups of faces with people pretending to be on their phones, eye contact. It was
like,
really
he's a huge star. The fact that like he brings in all this money and they're looking at him, but he's gay. Like
So what? The other thing too with the elevator, wait, he hugged him and it was just like, oh, but the moment too after is almost, it was like, thank you for your sacrifice, where it's just like, it's so bittersweet. It was so nice that he was like, I'm happy you did this. I know you're kind of crashing and burning, but thanks. And
I'm
you're like,
I needed it.
Just you want to give him
a hug.
Let's
move into quick predictions. What do we think happens next week?
Well, wait. There's something else we didn't talk about
huge
yet.
Huge ending.
We briefly touched on Jonas' return.
What else? Was
Jonas
that
comes back. Surprise! It happens.
We're at Whisper's
we don't know
house.
What it means yet.
Yeah.
It's creepy and unnerving because you should be dead and in the ground. And how can they use you when you're dead? Or were you just made like somewhat brain dead? Or keeping you alive with a machine to use?
Or
when they need you?
Might have just been pumping him full with that medicine, the blockers, so that they couldn't connect and whatnot.
We do have some. Let's do some predictions because Alexis passed on her predictions.
So. Alexis.
Oh yeah. Let's give her his first.
What's Alexis' predictions?
Predictions, one is that Jonas is a Whisper's puppet.
That makes sense.
Don't trust him because he's wearing dark colors.
Yes.
And what was the other one, too? I think that was it.
Yeah, she just said dark colors.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's interesting.
I
don't know about that, but
Renji goes, Lito should make
American
movies.
But you guys gotta say it now. Yeah. You can't just
No, that was it. Lito should make American movies. And I'm like, oh yeah, that was my other thought. I wanted Lito to come to the U.S.
Why is he going to Hollywood? Of all places. I feel like you're an actor. Go to Hollywood. I moved from New Jersey to go to Hollywood.
So I don't trust Jonas at all. No,
I cannot trust him.
Jonas is a puppet.
Yeah,
I'm sad about that.
It would be dumb at this point to trust Jonas.
Seriously.
Bigger question. Was Jonas there physically or was he there in their mind?
Mind.
Okay.
Because
he just
popped
up.
Because Son.
He wasn't there a second ago.
Yeah, Son and Wolf were there. Briefly. And then it was just Will.
I think it was just Will looking at him.
It was just Will. And then, he turned around.
Yeah.
Because
that's why
it
made me think
them.
He was there in person. Because Will was the only one there in the room. And he turned around.
But the other two can't.
Don't know yet.
I don't think so. I mean, they were in a big open field. Where is he going to just, like, walk?
Yeah,
that's also fair.
I'm pretty sure,
fair.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to see. We'll have to see you next week.
Yes.
Any other predictions before we get out of here?
No.
Yeah, no, there's too many characters to try and go through.
Yeah, my guess is because we've seen so little of Wolf, we'll get a big storyline coming up next, I don't think it's going to be good.
I don't think so either.
You've been flirting. He's like, no, everything's fine, everything's fine. I'm like, this is how we know it's not fine. Something bad is about to happen to you. Mm. Watch out, sexy.
I want more Sun and Moon.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
And I do think he could be on her side.
I think he is.
I hope he is.
I think he is. That whole fight and everything, I think if he wasn't knocked out, he would still be like...
Yep.
We're good.
He'd stand up and be like, let's keep going. Yeah. Someone behind me. He took that chin just straight up. Sun was done. It was amazing. Until next week, Zach, where can they find you?
My name is Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach with the CH Silverman 2 and at my website, thezachsilverman.com.
Carrie D.
Yes, you can find me online at Carrie D. Lane. That's KARIDLANE. And also on... Well, today's Monday. Thursday for Handmaid's Tale finale with this awesome lady.
Yeah.
And then Sunday will be the American Gods finale, which was crazy. And Wynonna Earp season 2 just started. So, I mean, if it's one of those, I think if you like this show, you probably like that show too. And then Box Office Breakdown on Sundays where we talk about what movies came out over the weekend.
With the Frank, amazing guy. Follow Alexis Torres at 8Torres890 because she is great and hilarious on the Twitters. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and every Wednesday at Schmoes Know. If you head over to the Black Girl Nerds podcast right now, you can check my interview with Mark Bernardin, former editor of the movie section of the LA Times, current writer of the comic book Genius, and co-host on Fat Man on Batman with Kevin Smith. We talk all things geeky and nerdy, including Batman the Animated TV Show. Good conversation. Thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We will be back next week with episode 8. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.